First of all, some fascinating research about the connection between lithium in our water supply and its connection to mental health problems and even crime rates. We've all heard from Dr. Wright that lithium supplementation is associated with neuroprotection of the brain, brain cortical thinking, increased gray matter, and that, of course, means that it makes us smarter. It can even cause hippocampus enlargement, which increases long-term memory recall. Now we have from the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry, comes very compelling research studying adolescents from 24 different junior high schools in Japan and their levels of interpersonal violence, bullying, destructive behavior, self-harm, and even suicidal thoughts. Samples were taken from the drinking water of the schools, and lithium levels were measured very exactly. Interestingly, the overall lithium levels were lower in general than in previous studies, but higher levels of lithium correspond to lower depression symptoms, less interpersonal violence, but not necessarily correlating to suicidal behavior. The conclusion was that lithium may have antidepressive and anti-aggressive effects on student populations. In another study published in the Journal of Medical Hypotheses, lithium levels were found to be inversely related to rates of crime, aggression, and even homicides. Elemental lithium in trace amounts, roughly, say, 5 to 10 milligrams daily, have long been shown to improve mood in just a few weeks. And these researchers are now suggesting adding lithium to multivitamin mineral combinations. Imagine that. Or adding it to popular morning cereals to reduce crime rates. Don't forget, we have some great Dr. Wright designed formulas containing lithium in our dispensary. Either Sage Memories or Remind are good products, and they have more than an adequate dose of lithium to help both your mood and memory. There is a good book that I like called Nutritional Lithium: A Cinderella Story. The Untold Tale of the Mineral That Transforms Lives and Heals the Brain. That's by James Greenblatt, MD. That's called Nutritional Lithium: A Cinderella Story, loaded with great information. Next up on News You Can Use, men with prostate cancer are typically classified into aggressive types. That's the cancer, not the men. And those who only require active surveillance or so-called watchful waiting. Well, now we find out that a guy with prostate cancer doesn't necessarily have to just watch and wait. They can take action through exercise. Research from Canada and England studied men who were classified as favorable risk prostate cancer, who were put into the active surveillance category. And researchers looked at varying activity levels of these men in this category and whether they were more likely to be reclassified based on various types of exercise they performed. Sure enough, physical activity was divided into recreational, something like cornhole or horseshoes, also transportational, like jogging or biking to work, and also non-leisure exercise, which is considered more high-intensity type. Levels of total physical activity was associated with lower odds of prostate cancer progression. And in the more vigorous exercise group, the non-leisure type, men had a 58% less risk of getting reclassified into a more aggressive prostate cancer. 58% less risk. That's fantastic. Recreational activity had a weaker association, but still had lower risk of progression. Just another reason to start exercising right after getting a cancer diagnosis. The odds are in your favor with any type of exercise in treating cancer. And why not just start now to prevent a diagnosis of cancer? Next, we have some interesting data on the relationship between chronic fatigue and low thyroid. Now, we all know chronic fatigue symptoms are similar to low thyroid symptoms. So, could there be some sort of correlation here? Usually, in chronic fatigue, there's some kind of chronic inflammation going on. Sometimes it's candida infection or intestinal dysbiosis, otherwise known as abnormal bacteria, food sensitivities, or even toxic metal exposure. The inflammation levels are measurable through blood testing of C-reactive protein levels. Now, in a recent French study, a large group of chronic fatigue sufferers were tested, and they were found to have similar T4 levels as in garden variety low thyroid, but they had lower free T3 levels and higher reverse T3 to total T3 ratios, which is indicative of low T3 syndrome. So not to get too technical here, but a large percentage of the chronic fatigue sufferers also had low T3 syndrome, similar to hypothyroid patients who receive only T4 therapy. Now, you've heard me speak before about the neglectful treatment of most hypothyroid patients by their conventional doctors and endocrinologists, using only T4 by itself and measuring only TSH levels in the blood to monitor their requirements. This research is now showing that mistreated low thyroid patients could be put at risk for developing chronic fatigue syndrome because of this approach. This is where seeing a doctor who is skilled and knowledgeable in functional medicine is so important, especially if you've been diagnosed with low thyroid. And lastly, here's some exciting news. This is a great example of the newfound collaboration between conventional oncologists and functional medicine doctors. This was a study in one of the most aggressive cancers known, pancreatic cancer. A study from the Journal of the American Association of Cancer Research looked at adding intravenous vitamin C, not oral dosing, which has been studied in the past, but high-dose IV vitamin C for pancreatic cancer in patients concurrently getting radiation treatment. The researchers found that added IV vitamin C during radiation decreased the viability and proliferative capacity of the pancreatic tumor cells via what's called a hydrogen peroxide-mediated mechanism. In other words, when the vitamin C hits the tumor cells, it breaks it down similar fashion as the oxidation that occurs using hydrogen peroxide. We've all witnessed hydrogen peroxide on our skin and how it foams up. The IV vitamin C both decreased survival of the pancreatic cancer cells, also reduced intestinal damage, collagen deposition, and oxidative stress to normal cells and the surrounding tissue. This occurred while the radiation beam was on and the patient was getting high-dose IV vitamin C at the same time. Now get this, the IV vitamin C increased median survival time by 71%. Progression-free survival time was also increased by almost 200%. And my suspicion, there's not as much research as this one, but other cancers could be a benefit with high-dose IV vitamin C also. So this is a very exciting news for the integrative docs who have been talking about the many benefits of adjunctive care for many types of cancer. And IV vitamin C is at the top of their list. So that's about it for news you can use.